Well, I guess I should start by talking about the first time I visited the Buffalo River, which was back in 2005, and I was offered a boat trip up the Buffalo River, and I had the hardest time finding the boat launch. I just kept missing exits off the Skyway, and then when I finally got there, it was just this sort of hidden docklands area. It seemed like the place where they put the car with the bodies in Goodfellas. It was just so remote. And we took the trip, and it was just almost sort of this eerie, futuristic, dystopian landscape, you know, with these just giant hulks of abandoned grain elevators. And once in a while, we'd see somebody fishing for fish they probably couldn't eat. And I remember the guy who gave me the trip said one of the few things that Buffalo has done well is isolate itself from the waterfront. And so then I came back in 2011, and I got a tour of the Inner Harbor, and I was shown the Naval Museum there, and the tall ships were coming in, and people were kayaking, and there were restaurants, and they'd uncovered 320 feet of the original terminus mm-hmm. of the Erie Canal. And so now what I'm seeing is that from that's spread up the Buffalo River. And when I got the boat tour, the captain of the boat was kind of joking, well, I'm going to show movies on these. And apparently that's what they're doing now. They're doing these light shows on these giant abandoned grain elevators.
So from what you're seeing, it sounds like we're definitely on the right track, and we finally have come out of this issue of not having accessibility.
Well, I always call Buffalo the mother of Rust Belt cities, because it was really the first city to rise to greatness on the Great Lakes, and the first city to begin its decline starting in the 50s when the St. Lawrence Seaway was built. And so it sort of set the template for all of these cities with the neighborhoods around the Orthodox Church and the Tavern and the Catholic Church. So I think it's only fitting that Buffalo would be, you know, the city that leads the way in helping other cities rediscover their waterfronts. I mean, certainly you have some disadvantages, I-190 being a big one. John Norquist, the former mayor of Milwaukee and later the director of the Congress for New Urbanism, is a big proponent of tearing down lakefront and waterfront highways. He did it himself in his own city, tore down the Park East. He has a saying that Robert Moses' dead gray hands are still strangling the city of Buffalo. And so I asked him, well, what should Buffalo do with the Skyway? What should they do with 190? He said, tear them down as fast as possible. Just put in a six-lane boulevard. Immediately, you will have the best waterfront on Lake Erie.
But at this point, they've decided not to do that with the Skyway because of the expense. But when you look at it yourself now and you see the difference that they've made down below, mm-hmm. do you think we're on the right track? Because there is still accessibility in and around that Skyway path.
No, I think it's easier to work with that than it is with some of the parks further up north. You've got a little more room. So definitely you're on the right path working with what you can work. And it's just unfortunate that for the longest time, water was just looked at as either just a wet highway or a sewer. And people didn't want to live near it because it smelled and because that's where all the industry was. And then when the industry left, you were left with this pollution, and you were left with, you know, these cities that were built right up to the waterfront where nobody could really live or play. So it's a difficult legacy to overcome.
What is your thought on the invasive species happening within the Great Lakes, the Asian carp, things of that nature, and your concerns as you've studied so much of the Great Lakes?
Personally, I think the Great Lakes should be sealed off. I think we should shut down the St. Lawrence Seaway, and we should shut down the O'Brien Lock in Chicago, and they should just be returned to being the, you know, sort of integral waterway that they once were. I mean, I think at this point it's not that much more expensive to take the freight off at Montreal or take the freight off in Chicago and ship it by train.
How would they possibly go about that and getting the cooperation from government to do
something
like that?
You're going to have a hard time getting cooperation from the shipping companies and from the governments, because, you know, we've got international ships coming all the way to Chicago through the St. Lawrence Seaway. But I think environmentally, it's just been a disaster for the Great Lakes.
If our water could talk, what would it say?
What would it do? It would say, come, I want my people back. It would say, I am the reason Buffalo exists. You wouldn't be here if it weren't for the Niagara River and for Lake Erie. I mean, people originally settled in Buffalo because I was here, and I want people living here and looking at me and interacting with me on a daily basis again, just as it was when the city was founded.
Edward McClellan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me back in Buffalo.